Jerry Bader Show, 935, Nicolet National Bank, downtown Green Bay, 111th North Washington Street. A lot of nice folks coming in. The box is filling up, but we still need your help. As I say, this show is free just about every day of the year, twice a year, during the summer, during the radiothon, and now. We ask for your help. We were in Sheboygan a couple of weeks back. We were at Wausau last week. Families of Children with Cancer is the signature charity of the Jerry Bader Show, and been affiliated with, I believe it's 2006. I'm almost sure it was 2006. And they're just a great organization. All funds go directly to families who've had a child diagnosed with cancer. That's what it's all about. And what they do is a Christmas party every year because, well, you know, a lot of families, that's all the Christmas they can afford with the crippling costs of dealing with this type of thing. So just want to remind you again, cash, if you know what we need in terms of toys, items, that sort of thing, or if you don't know, you can go to jerrybadershow.com, and you'll see everything right there. There's a Families of Children with Cancer link. You do that, and you'll see what we need if you've had time to go shopping or if you didn't. If you just want to bring money, it is, it's one of two times a year that we beg. I'm just going to be honest. That's what we're doing. We're begging for your help. I am begging on behalf of Families of Children with Cancer. Great, great organization. I want to thank the firefighters. They've helped out again. I want to thank listeners who've come in, $5, $10, whatever you can do. Really, really helps, and you can hear it's kind of a hub of activity here. We've had a lot of people coming in, so you would be more than welcome to join them. Just a fabulous organization that does a lot of good work. Chad, thanks. Appreciate it. Firefighters, again, doing a great job for us and helping out. All right. I've been teasing this, so let's go ahead and get to it. Oh, okay. Jason says, slow down when you say the address. Actually, he said, say the address again, but I know what he's really saying is slow down. 111 North Washington Street, downtown Green Bay, just northeast of the Walnut Street Bridge. I think I got that right. Yeah, just northeast of the Walnut. My directions get all screwed up. So it's the bank building. If you're coming over the Walnut Bridge from the west, you just take a left onto Washington. If you're coming from the east, you take a right down to Washington, just north of Walnut there. 111 North Washington Street. And if you want to mail something to them for Families of Children with Cancer, it's Families of Children with Nicolet National Bank, care of Families of Children with Cancer. And then again, 111 North Washington Street, 54301. And he'll be all set. Jason's like, thank you. Now they'll stop calling. No, they won't. I will reduce by about 5% the number of people who will be calling you. All right, we got a couple of neat young people bringing toys in. Thank you. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Vincent? Oh, okay. We read the letter about Vincent. Vincent's siblings are here, and they're bringing gifts, and boy, we sure appreciate that because there's someone who's been touched by this, and they're still giving back. So we really appreciate that. All right, it's been a busy day. I did promise to get to at least one topic, and I'm going to do that right now, and I'm sure we'll have some other guests on the air in just a little bit. Jason, if you could have that audio ready. The 4567 that I shared with you earlier. Back during the recall election of Governor Scott Walker, the night that he won, Lawrence O'Donnell on MSNBC did something that a lot of people, including me, ridiculed. He said something on the air as his show started to do the coverage of Last Word with Lawrence O'Donnell. As his show started to do coverage of Governor Walker's victory in the recall on June 5th, I believe it was, 2012, he did something that got him scorn and ridicule from conservatives everywhere. Here is what it was.
Tonight, the really big winner in the Wisconsin recall election is President Obama.
All right. He said that, and we all laughed and snickered, and what a jerk. MSNBC, they can't admit that they took it in the shorts. Scott Walker survived a recall, first sitting governor to do so in America, and he's got to say that. Guess what? He was right. Now, he was partially right. Scott Walker was the big winner that night. But what he was referring to was the exit polls that showed, despite Scott Walker winning, Barack Obama doing very, very well in Wisconsin. That ended up being real. And it played all the way out to November when nobody on our side being conservatives, thought that it would. They just didn't. And by the way, when I say our side, I mean my side. I know there are liberal listeners. I know that. Not everybody listening is conservative. They don't admit it. Well, so this became a point of fascination as the election played out in November, that Barack Obama did so well in Wisconsin, the same Wisconsin in which Governor Scott Walker has now won twice. Election in 2012, survive a recall in 2010, survive a recall in 2012. How? How does that happen? And how do we get those voters? Lawrence O'Donnell was proven right. Scott Walker addresses this. Of course, Scott Walker is on a book tour. He'll be on our show Tuesday, and we've been giving away copies of his book. I don't know if we're going to get to that today. I said I'll try to use one of his books here. We'll see if that works out. Scott Walker, today's Wall Street Journal. How to win the Obama-Walker voters. In the wake of the 2012 elections, Republicans are being warned once again that they need to compromise their principles to win at the ballot box. The only way to win the center is to move to the center. If this were true, Barack Obama would not be president today, and I would not be governor of Wisconsin. When I was first elected as Milwaukee County Executive in 2002, pundits said it was a fluke, a Republican elected in a heavily Democratic district in a special election in the wake of a political scandal. To stay in the job, they said, I would have to move to the middle. Instead, I governed as a conservative reformer and won three consecutive elections as county executive, each one by bigger margins. The last one in 2008 was especially noteworthy. Mr. Obama won Milwaukee County with 67.5% of the vote. I won with nearly 60%. That was 2008. When President Obama was first elected, he carried Milwaukee County with 67.5% of the vote, which should not surprise you. Scott Walker won 60%. As governor of the state, my administration reformed collective bargaining in the public sector against enormous odds, turned a $3.6 billion deficit into a $760 million surplus, and cut taxes. In response to the union reform, opponents mounted a recall election in 2012. It was contentious, there's an understatement, it was contentious, yet after enduring 100,000 or more protesters and tens of millions of dollars in negative ads, we won the recall by a bigger margin than the gubernatorial election in 2010. And here's where the results get intriguing. Exit polls show that roughly one in six voters who cast ballots for me in the June 2012 recall also plan to vote for Mr. Obama a few months later. These Obama-Walker voters constituted about 9% of the electorate. I know this bogs down a little bit. Pay attention. So about 9% of the electorate voted for Barack Obama and Scott Walker. Okay? Polls show that about 11% of the people in Wisconsin today support both me and the president. There are probably no two people in public life who are more philosophically opposite, yet more than 1 in 10 approve of us both. Here's what he's getting to. How do 10% of the voters in Wisconsin support him and President Obama? How do you explain that overlap? Well, here he goes. To make a conservative comeback, Republicans need to win these Obama-Walker voters and their equivalents across the country. In the Wisconsin recall, we mobilized conservative voters by standing up for conservative principles against enormous pressure. But we also persuaded at least some of President Obama's supporters to support us, too. This is important to understand. People who voted for Barack Obama voted not just in the recall, but in 2010 for Scott Walker. There are independent, reform-minded voters in every state. In times of crisis, they want leadership from either party. What I've learned is that if you step forward and offer a reform agenda that is hopeful and optimistic, they may give you a shot. More important, if you deliver, they'll stick with you. The way Republicans can win those in the middle is not by abandoning their principles. To the contrary, the courage to stand on principle is what these voters respect. The way to win the center is to lead. That's why those arguing that conservatives have to moderate their views if they want to appeal to the country are so wrong. If our principles were the problem, then why are so many Republican governors winning elections by campaigning on those principles? Since Barack Obama took office in 2009, the GOP has gone from controlling both the legislature and the governor's mansion in 9 states to 23 states today. Not one sitting Republican governor has lost a general election since 2007. Republicans did not win those races by running from principles. They won by applying principles in ways that are relevant to the lives of citizens. In Washington, the fight is over fiscal cliffs, debt limits, sequesters, and shutdowns. In the states, Republicans focus on improving education, caring for the poor, reforming government, lowering taxes, fixing entitlements, reducing dependency, improving health care, and creating jobs and opportunity for the unemployed. Republicans need to do more than simply say no to Mr. Obama and his party's big government agenda. They can offer Americans positive solutions for the nation's challenges to reduce dependency and create hope, opportunity, and upward mobility for all citizens. They need to make not just the economic case for conservative reforms, but the moral case as well, showing how conservative policies and ideas will make America not only a more prosperous society, but a more just and fair one as well. That is probably the best sentence of this entire piece. The moral imperative of conservatism. Back to Scott Walker. When I faced the need to reform collective bargaining in the government, I wanted to win, but I wasn't afraid to lose and didn't worry about getting reelected. That was profoundly liberating. Too many people in politics today spend their time trying not to lose instead of trying to do the right thing. They would better serve the country by worrying more about the next generation than the next election. Oh, that's good. They would better serve the country by worrying more about the next generation than the next election. The irony is that politicians who spend more time worrying about the next generation than about the next election often tend to win the next election, because voters are starved for leadership. Americans reward leaders who offer positive solutions, keep their promises, and get results. If Republicans do that, Americans will stand with them. I know, because they stood with me. All right, I have a few more things to say about that, and I'll do that in 3 minutes. And I want to remind you, we are at Nicolet National Bank, 111 North Washington Street, downtown Green Bay. It is 9:48.
The Jerry Bader Show.